are working on a series right now called God's Word is the Foundation for Everything. God's Word is the Foundation for Everything. God's Word is the Foundation for Everything. Specifically today, we are talking about the fact God's Word is the foundation for all creation. Our key verse, Luke 6, 46 to 49, and we're going to read it again. And I mentioned before, when I do these series, I like to read the key verse until it is so stuck in your head that you can't forget it. So yes, I'm repeating it. Luke 6, 46 to 49. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? This is Jesus talking. Verse 47, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. So God's word, when we receive it and do it, becomes a foundation which causes us to never be shaken. Okay, this is key. You need to build your life on the foundation of God's word. That means you receive it and you do it. And now, when the storms of life come, you will stand. So God's word is the foundation that we need to make the foundation of our lives. And it is the foundation that created everything. You see, all creation began in Genesis 1, verse 1, with the word of God. John 1 and verse 1 to 3, I'm going to read that first and we'll go back to Genesis. John 1 verse 1 to 3 says, in the beginning was the Word. Everybody say the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. You see, the Word was what created in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We understand that Christ Jesus is the manifest Word, and he was in the beginning creating. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and we read this in an earlier series, but I want to read it again because we're specifically looking at creation today. Genesis 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The Spirit of God was moving, yet nothing happened until God said, until God spoke. Because the Word of God is the Creator. It is the foundation for all creation. And if you read through the rest of Genesis, you'll get to verse 6 and you'll read again, God said, let there be. Go to verse 9 and you'll read again, God said, let the waters under the heaven. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 24, and God said. Verse 26, and God said. You see, the Word of God created. The Word of God is the foundation for all creation, everything we see and know. Now, God didn't create speakers. Man put those together, but he used substances that were created by God initially. And a lot of the stuff you see that has been made was made with oil as well. But God is the initial creator of everything. The Word of God was the initial creator, and also the Word of God, according to Scripture, now holds creation together and still creates. Let me say that again. The Word of God holds creation together and still creates. You see, when I say the Word of God is the foundation for all creation, you can't just say, well, the Word of God made it and then disappeared. The Word of God is the foundation that still holds creation together. You can't remove that foundation and expect creation to continue. That's scriptural, and I'll give you a couple of those in a minute. He spoke it, but he also created a foundation to keep it running the way it is. Why do things, the planets still spin? Why does this earth work so well for people to live? How does it keep going? And what is all of this? It's built on the word that God spoke. And if you were here when I did the last message, you know that God has already spoken in his word and said, one day the heaven and earth will pass away. He already spoke it and already knows it. But right now, he's holding it together with his word. Colossians chapter 1, 16 to 17 says this. For through him, meaning Jesus, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdom, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Jesus, the Word, holds all creation together. If you're into science at all, I would encourage you to check out some of the amazing things that they show us in science. And there are many Christian scientists, God-believing scientists, and it will blow you away how things are held together. Why doesn't it just all fall apart? The very life that you and I know. Now, science can observe and has an understanding of how life begins, but yet, what actually is that life? And why is there a light that comes when life begins? I believe it's the Word of God still doing what it's done from the beginning when life was created. Hebrews 1 and verse 1 to 3. It says, throughout history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave them was only a fragment at a time, building one truth upon another. But to us living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of his Son, the appointed heir of everything. For through him, Jesus, God created the panorama of all things and all time. The Son is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplishes for us the complete cleansing of sin, and then he took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. Now I'm reading this in the Passion Translation, if you're wondering, but very clearly it says there that he holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. Did you ever think about it for a minute? This universe that we are a part of, did you know that it's all moving, yet it's all staying together? This earth spins like this, but they also understand that everything's moving also like this. Everything moving, yet everything held together. And here's the really amazing thing. God's word is infinite. And I've mentioned this before. God is eternal. His word is eternal, and it is infinite. And when he said, let there be stars in the firmament, he didn't put a limit on it. And did you know that the bigger the telescope they get, the farther out they send their machines to check it out, they find more. Think about it for a minute. We live in a finite world. We always have a beginning to things and an end to things. But really, when we're looking at the universe and we're trying to go farther, how far does it go? I often wonder, well, what are we expecting to find? When we got to the end of the universe, there's a wall. Well, what's on the other side of the wall? Well, we got to where we just see nothing. Black, nothing. Well, how far does the black nothing go before there's something else? God is eternal, and His Word created this. Think about it the other direction. If they take a microscope, the bigger, the more powerful the microscope, they find more parts. You know, they used to say, well, the cell is the smallest there is, and they continue down to the atom. Then they find out there's neutrons and protons. Then they find out there's little parts in the little parts. Because God's Word is infinite and eternal. His ways are past finding out. You see, the God we serve is not old-fashioned and done with. His Word is not some ancient thing that we need to add to because we're so much smarter. His Word is still living, still creating, and is holding this universe together. Because His Word is powerful and His Word is alive. Oh, we don't serve a dead God and we don't read a dead Word. I want to encourage you. Know it. This is powerful. His Word is still creating, according to Isaiah 48, 6 and 7. It says, you have heard what I foretold and have seen it all unfold. So admit that it happened and I was right. From now on, I will tell you about new things never seen before, hidden things, well-guarded secrets you know nothing about. They are created now. Brand new today, not long ago. You've never heard of them before now, so you cannot say, oh, I already knew about that. God was talking to some people who apparently had a bit of an attitude. But what I want you to see from that scripture is He's clearly saying, I'm going to create them now. God creates when? Now. He is still creating with His Word. Because His Word is still powerful, His Word is still living, and His Word is still eternal. Isaiah 65, 17 to 19. He says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping will no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. God is creating now, and God will continue to create. And He says very clearly He will create a new heaven and a new earth. God, in Scripture, we can read where He created through the prophets, where God's Word created. Here's a story that maybe some of you remember from reading. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 to 7. And the Word of God was spoken through a prophet, and it did a creative miracle. It created something. So let me read this story to you. Says in verse 4, now there was a woman who had been married to a member of the group of prophets, and she appealed to Elisha, saying, my husband, your servant, is dead. You know how he feared the Lord, but now someone he owed money to has come to take my two children away to be slaves. And Elisha said to her, what can I do for you? Tell me what you still have left in the house. This portion of scripture, by the way, could be a whole message itself, but I'm not going to go too deep if I can help it. I just might go a little though. What do you still have in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing at all in the house except a small jar of oil. And he said, go out and borrow containers from all your neighbors. Get as many empty containers as possible. Then go in and close the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into all those containers. Set each one aside when it's full. She left Elisha and closed the door behind her and her sons. They brought her containers and she kept on pouring. When she had filled the container, she said to her son, "Bring me another container." And he said, "There aren't any more." Then the oil stopped flowing. And she reported this to the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." I love this story for a lot of reasons, but tonight specifically, do you understand that the Word of God created something that was not there before? She had a small jar of oil, but when she acted in faith and poured, the oil was created and kept pouring. I got to just say something to you about miracles and how God works. First of all, he said, "What do you still have? What do you have right now?" Can I encourage you, use what you have right now. If you're waiting for something that you don't have, then you never step out in faith. But what do you have right now? Did you notice her answer? Basically nothing. Well, I have a little small jar of oil. It doesn't matter to God how small you think what you have is. Well, I don't have any gifts. I can't sing on tune. I don't care what you can't do. What do you have? What's the small gift you have? Because in the hands of God, he will change it into something amazing. He will cause things to be created by the small gift you have when you step out and do what he says with it. The other part that I see in this story that is amazing is the miracle, the extent of the miracle depended completely on their faith and how many vessels they borrowed. You know, they realized from what he said, there's going to be a miracle happening here. We're supposed to go out and borrow containers. And then he said, "We're supposed to fill them." So her and the boys go out to borrow containers. What if they only borrowed one little jar? Because they're like, I don't know if this is going to even work, but. Or maybe they were like a little bit lazy and, you know, the youngest boy just went out and kicked the rocks and came back with one little cup. Do you see that this miracle, they had enough to pay their debts and live on for the rest of their lives? Oh, do you believe God can do that? Or do you only have enough faith to borrow one container? Yeah, I'm just going to get a small little pail. Faith. God wants to create things for you. God wants to do impossible things for you, but you do play a part in it. Are you willing to prepare? Are you willing to do your part so he can do his? I know we're talking about his word creating, but I just felt that this story has a lesson in it that you can't leave alone. What has God been saying to you? What is he asking for you to do? And you're thinking it's impossible because I only have this. Well, take the only this and start using it and watch God change it and create it into something amazing. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm going to encourage you. Don't you dare stop short. Don't you dare not have faith, because God wants to do amazing things. Elisha speaks the word of God, and there is creation in that word. I remember reading a story years ago in a book from a well-known evangelist. And it was a testimony from someone who he knew. And I don't remember all the details of the story, but I remember there was a lady wanting to do ministry, and she needed a certain amount of money for this ministry thing that God had called her to do. And she had been given some money in an envelope, and she took it home, and she counted it. And when she counted it, she counted roughly about, I'm trying to remember the story. My numbers could be slightly off. But she counted somewhere around $400 in the envelope. And she said, "You know, God, we need like at least $800. But I know you said you would do this and you're faithful, so I'm going to just trust you. And there's enough money She closed the envelope up. She got up the next morning. She prayed over the envelope again, and she said, you know what? I'm going to open it and count it again. She opened it and counted again, and this time there was $500 in the envelope. And she's thinking, well, maybe I just counted wrong the first time. But she said, you know, God, I'm so thankful. I believe you did a creative miracle. And, you know, we need almost $800, but I trust you because you said you wanted me to do this, and I'm going to believe you. And she closed up the envelope. She came back to the envelope after some time and said, well, God, I know you're faithful. I'm going to count it again because what happened last time can happen again. She counted it again, and this time there was $600 in the envelope. Well, you get the picture what's going to happen. She recounted until there was $800. She said, okay, God, now I'm going to go do this. I have the money needed for the trip. Now, if you're one of those brainy guys right now, you're thinking, well, did the money have a serial number on it? Because, you know, it could be fake money. Did anybody besides me think that when they read that story? Okay, my mind works that way. I know there's a verse in the Bible that said, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Because God can do anything. Do you believe that? His word still creates. All right, and here is the cool thing. His word still creates today when it is spoken and followed. The word of God in you and I has the power to create. Did you know that? You know, before I even go to a verse, if there's somebody you're doubting, my words don't create anything. Let me just give you an example. If you've ever been in any kind of relationship, you can go home and create something with your words. You can create a big argument, or you can create something beautiful simply by your words. So we can create an atmosphere and a mood with our words, but according to God, we can also create more than that. So let me give you some verses. Proverbs 18 and 21, and you know I've used this one many times, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Mark 11, 22 to 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Okay, that's an amazing verse, and some are thinking, boy, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say we can have anything? The portion of Scripture began with have faith in God. In other words, when you are speaking, believing that God is directing you, anything is impossible. And yes, if God's directing you and something needs to be created, it will. I heard a story online recently. I was listening to it. And it was a minister who had seen many people healed simply by praying and declaring God's word. And he told the story of a woman who he was actually counseling. He was counseling the woman, and they were having marriage issues, really troubling marriage issues. And the woman said, I think part of the problem is that I can't have any kids, and my husband wants kids. She says, but it's impossible because something has happened to me before and I've had a complete hysterectomy. In other words, all the things needed to make a baby were removed. And they talked for a while, and while they were talking, the minister really felt the presence of God and felt that he was supposed to pray for her and she could be healed. So he asked her after, would you like me to pray for you? I feel the presence of God. I'm willing. And so he did. He laid his hands to pray for her, and the presence of God hit her, and she actually fell down, the presence of God flowing through her. Make the story short, God completely gave her new parts needed to make babies, and she did have kids. Because God can do anything, and his word can create. You can check it out online yourself if you like. This is happening today, not just in the Bible time. People getting prayed for and legs growing out. I read a miracle story. It was documented. Doctor proved, this was a number of years ago, but a young boy who had 26 things wrong with him. And when they prayed for him, he was healed of all 26. He was completely blind. He suddenly could see, and they were just, the man of God walked holding him. And as he began to pray, and God had directly showed him, in other words, he was going by the word of direction of God. It wasn't just a show. And as he prayed for him, you see, this little boy was crippled. His arms were crippled. His legs were crippled. He couldn't see. He couldn't speak. His tongue hang out of his mouth. He had no toes on his feet. There was just an amazing amount of things wrong. But as he prayed and walked, everything began to change. The man of God who was telling the story wasn't the one praying. He was the one following, watching, because he couldn't believe it. And he said his eyes were completely milky white, and as they walked, suddenly there was bright blue eyes. The tongue snapped back in his mouth. His arms that were jabbed in his ribs suddenly became loose. He said, but the thing that amazed him most was as he watched little toes pop out, just like somebody working with silly putty, because he had club feet that were bent in. And he set the little boy down, and the little boy at that time was about 3 or 4 years age, had never heard, had never spoke, had never seen. He set the little boy down, the little boy looked over and saw his mom and said, Mom, and ran and jumped in her arms. Because we serve a God that can create. We serve a God that is the same today as he was yesterday. Yesterday we read, from the beginning he created man with some sand, did a little molding and breathed into him. Do you think he still has the ability to create today? Does anybody believe he does? Because if you believe he does, you're going to see great and mighty things. The God we serve, his word is the foundation for everything. And his word is most definitely the foundation for all creation. It began it, it holds it together, and he still creates. You know, when I was preparing this message, I felt God wanted me to ask you a question. What do you feel God wants to create through you? From as little simple things as to create peace where you work, to create joy with those around you. But that's only the beginning. Has he called you to speak healing to someone? Has he called you to speak life to a womb that needs life? Has he called you to speak blessing where there's been cursing? I want to challenge you today. This word is alive, it's living. And if you let this word flow through you, you will create.